Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Alex Merrill. Welcome to The Inspirati. I've enlisted a roster of ultra-talented international creators and curators to join me on this podcast to talk about how they've charted their individual paths, overcome challenges, and found their true artistic selves. From candid conversations with eminent makers to showcasing exciting up-and-comers across the industries of art, music, fashion, entertainment, literature, and design, we get to illuminate our perspectives, learning from these unique stars within the constellation of global creation. Creativity. The Inspirati was created for those seeking inspiration and those seeking to inspire. Thanks for listening. When Life magazine has called your father Europe's most important theatrical producer and you grow up in a parental love triangle involving Ingrid Bergman, it's unlikely you'll end up being boring, but my friend Christian Schmidt is just about always the most interesting man in the room. His photography, which frequently blends the sophistication of high fashion with the rawness of wildlife, has been exhibited worldwide from Milk Studios in New York City to Art Basel, Miami, to the Cannes Film Festival. One critically acclaimed project captured a never-before-seen concept, a model with an impressive lung capacity swimming alongside whale sharks, the biggest known fish in the ocean. The media was captivated and the photographs were featured in nearly 400 magazines and newspapers globally, raising awareness for this at-risk species. Christian has worked with countless celebrities like Lupita Nyong'o, Jaimon Hansu, Prince William, David Beckham, and Richard Branson to promote wildlife conservation and increase education about the growing illegal trade of animal and sea life poaching. This remarkable work has led to the banning of the ivory trade in China in 2017, but Christian's work is far from over. You can find him, camera in hand, on the edge of what photography is capable of capturing. No, he didn't Photoshop that picture. Yes, that is him at the party in a swan costume. And in this episode, yes, that is ice in a cocktail glass tinkling throughout our chat. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with a true original and a dear friend, and that it reminds you that you can make the world a better place and still be the life of the party. Hi!
There she is!
There he is!
Alex Merrill!
Why has it been
2 years, a year?
I was racking my brain trying to remember the last time I saw you.
So where are you? In Canada? Where are you?
I'm in Canada, yeah. Been here since March. What about you? You're in Stockholm?
Sweden since Stockholm since March as well. We went to Italy, went to Turkey, went to Miami, quickie, but mostly here. It's been, Stockholm was amazing over summer. It was phenomenal. But it was, now it's getting a little dark.
You guys didn't really shut down, right?
We didn't shut down at all. It was totally normal. Now it's like curfew at 10 p.m., but no mask.
It's crazy. I have a friend in Stockholm and I checked in with him. I'm like, how are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm heading to yoga. And it was the middle of everybody being shut down. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's totally normal.
So crazy. How has it been? Obviously, you've been a bit restricted with your travel, but it sounds like you've still been bopping around a bit.
Yeah. We've been traveling around, but my business runs on, travel and fun and galleries and stuff like that. So it's been restructuring a little bit. We had time to remake companies and whatever, but it's been really slow. It's been crazy.
Have you been shooting?
Shooting. We did a big shoot now last Saturday, which is really fun. But nothing, because I do mostly wildlife. So it's been really nothing special.
Of course. What are the restrictions like for Africa right now?
Oh, Africa's open. So Africa's totally open and Cape Town's open. So we're going to head down there at some point in January. Hopefully, maybe New Year's Eve. We'll see. Congrats on this podcast. What's going on?
Thank you. No, it's been really good. It's been really fun getting it together. And it's such a nice excuse to catch up with people I haven't seen in however many years and just see how everybody's doing.
Exciting. That's great. It's really cool.
Yeah. I was reading about your dad last night.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is the other part that's been so fun about doing this project is getting to know people that I might have even known for 10 years, but didn't quite understand like the full life story of.
Yeah, yeah.
What an incredible guy.
It's unbelievable what he did. It's unbelievable. It's crazy. It was really fun growing up with him too, because it just that kind of knowledge and everything he's done, it's phenomenal. It's amazing. He actually was the first to go buy rights for musicals through the war during that time.
Right.
And they're like, don't go, you're crazy. So he went and they took some boat. It sunk, ended up in Cuba. And he ended up on the docks of New York City with no money and no like luggage, all kinds of stuff all sorted up. He meets some girl on the docks. And she's like, want to come to this party with me? So he ends up going to that party and all the biggest playwriters were there during that time. And be like, I'm here to buy playwrights for Europe. Like, you're insane. It's like, it's the middle of a war. And so he bought like Cat Knots and Roof, My Fair Lady, that kind of things, about $1 each. They just take
it.
Wow. Yeah. And then he came back with all these huge things that are still playing in Europe, you know?
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Yeah. I was reading, about his boat getting bombed on the way.
Yeah.
He lost his passport. He lost all of his letters of recommendation and everything and just showed up. And it was funny because it kind of reminded me of you and how
exactly,
it's
always
that trait where you just like show up, make a bunch of friends, figure things out on the fly. It's like totally the same thing.
Being social saves everybody's lives. It's always solution. Yeah. That's it. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
So true. And then I guess Life magazine called him Europe's most important theatrical producer.
That's right. Yeah. He did. Yeah. It's a quite amazing amount of things. And then he met Ingrid and he went from there after that. Yeah. So, but it's, I think he did over 220 musicals and plays. He did a lot of different things, you know?
Wow. And in the States as well.
In the States as well. Yeah. He did a lot of things in America, a lot in London, all around, you know? So it's cool. We still have his movie posters. I mean, it's like a whole storage space of movie posters. It's madness. It's crazy.
Wow. What was that like growing up?
It was cool. I mean, he was 60 when he had me. So it was a different generation. But when you get a bit older, like at teenage years, and you start working what I'm doing, it was super interesting. I mean, learned so many things from him. It was amazing.
And he was winning Tonys at that point in New York.
Absolutely. Yeah. All those things. It's great. And he had all the big actors, all the big ones coming to our house and like that. So it put a nice foundation for what I was going to do in my future, which is cool too, you know?
Right. For sure. So you were born in New York, but then relocated.
That's right. Too late to Paris. Lived in Paris. I was 16. And then I moved back to New York at 16 and I started working with Japan about 17. And then I did like New York, Japan for about 20 years.
Wow. And what was your mom like?
My mom was a model. So we grew up as like kind of triangle affair. So dad was married to Ingrid, had me with a model, told Ingrid that I'm having this kid with his model. And she said, it's fine, we'll stay married. So I kind of grew up in that type of situation, you know? Mom on weekdays and dad on weekends.
Modern family.
Yeah, modern family. The 70s. We like the 70s.
Right. Totally. And then Japan and France and kind of bouncing around between there. And then you had a production company and were producing music videos.
That's right. Yeah.
So
I had a production company in Sweden. We did over maybe 180 music videos and a lot of commercials.
Wow.
And did that for a couple of years, which did really well. We got a bunch of Grammy nominations and really well. And then I started shooting a lot in Cape Town because the production is so cheap there. And after that, I started going on safaris and taking pictures of animals. And someone liked those pictures, like should do gallery in New York City. I did that and it sold out the first day. So I'm like, I'll just keep on doing this. It's better money and more fun and more free time. And I kind of went out to that thing after that, you know? And I started putting people with the animals in the pictures and then it kind of blew up from there.
Do you remember your first safari really clearly?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Yeah. It must have been, I came back into Cape Town 20 years ago. Yeah. So it was, and it's phenomenal. Every time I go on safari, it's as amazing. And it never gets old.
Who was exposing you to that in Cape Town?
Well, no, it was just us. We had a big production there
out.
And I was just like, let's go on safari. You know, that's pretty much it. But yeah, and pictures and directing is very similar. So I learned how to get that cinematic feeling in pictures when I was directing. And then I kind of added that idea to pictures. And that's why it kind of works. It's very similar when you do visual things.
It is interesting with your work because, you know, we've all seen a lot of photos of wildlife, but I think that having humans in wildlife imagery a lot of the time makes it so much more impactful because you see the it's a reminder of our impact on them, right? And on their world. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I'm really trying to, if I can just get the feeling I get when I'm doing these trips are so phenomenal, you know, and I'm really trying to get that feeling out when you see the picture. So if you can get the same feeling that I'm getting when I'm shooting it, then I'm winning, you know, that's all I want. And, it's tricky, but, and also I'm having people writing me all day long. I'm quitting my job because I have pictures. I want to do this. I'm following you on Instagram. I want to go travel. And that's better than money. That's better than anything. If you can get that going, then it's great. You know?
Yeah. If you can get everybody leaving their job to go shoot animals in the wild, that's the best.
Best million. It's the best emails I've ever gotten or chats or DMs. It makes me so happy. You know.
I remember when your Whale Shark series came out, it was a couple years after I met you and it was just immediately everywhere. Like Richard Branson put them in the Virgin Lounges around the world, right? And how did all of that come about? Because he was involved, right?
Well, he was off again. So I was in Isla Mujeres with Wild Aid and Richard diving with Whale Shark. They have a big kind of migration there every July. Okay. It was like 300-400 whale sharks. It's madness. It's crazy.
So you're diving whale sharks.
It's Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have whale sharks all day long. And I'm like, this is amazing. I got to visit, the UFOs. This is huge kind of spaceships going by you. It's incredible. And I'm like, I got to do a shoot with this. And Richard's like, well, I know this place in the Philippines close to Oslob where the fishermen are kind of paddling out and they throw food away so that whale sharks don't eat their bait. Right. So every morning we just have whale sharks kind of waiting on their boats like that. It's a small little village. It's really cool. So I went to trying to get somebody that could dive and do the type of shoots I wanted to do. And we met Hannah. Hannah's a free diver and she does an incredible underwater model. And it's got a small crew together. We're like seven people. We flew to Philippines. I funded everything myself. And then we did a shoot. It was shallow. It was warm. The whale sharks every morning. We had fun. Our makeup artist hates animals. He's hilarious. He's this incredible guy, but he doesn't want to shoot it. And he's always with me. And he's screaming underwater and we're having a blast. And then when we came back, I just was going to shoot it for a magazine or something. We came back. We had, you know, hundreds of magazines wanting it. And it's kind of blew up from there. So, I think it went into, over 380 magazines around the world. Newspapers wrote about it. And it's because of the first time someone's done that.
That's so wild.
Yeah. Mm.
How long can Hannah hold her breath underwater?
6 minutes.
What?
6 minutes. Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah.
That's insane. I'm assuming that you were tanked up.
I was tanked up. I'm not suffering. I have wetsuit, fully tanked up. I'm safe on my side, you know?
I did a shoot in Hawaii one time with a photographer who hadn't done underwater photography before. Yeah. And we were doing it with sharks. Mm-hmm. Not whale sharks, but like legit fin jaws moment coming at you. And it is wild when you're down there because you're just completely out of control. You're like, this is not my territory.
No, of course
at all. But I can't even imagine with the scale of those animals what that must have felt like.
It's incredible. But they're very sweet, they're gentle, but the tail can kind of whip you. And I have a whole like segment of me just flying out of the ocean, flying down.
Oh my gosh.
Tail just whipping you, flying. Yeah.
The blooper reel.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious. But the whale sharks is quite a calm shoot. It wasn't difficult. We didn't have any too much trouble. It was warm. Then we got ambitious. We went to shoot manta rays in Hawaii. So then we had to tie her 40 feet underwater to a rock, middle of the night. I mean, incredible. We had a surfboard of a light, lights up like this. And the manta rays kind of going around, feeding off the light like that, which is, it's like a different world. It's amazing. But that was scary because there's a lot of current. It's freezing cold. She's cold. If something goes wrong, she's very deep. So that's like a scary shoot, you know. But the whale sharks was fine. You know, it's good. Yeah.
That's so crazy. So was that, you had just started working with Wild Aid at that point or?
I'd done an India trip. I'd been with them for a couple of years. Yeah, it was 2013. So I just worked with them about 3 years until I started with that.
Can you explain a bit about what they do?
So Wild Aid is like one number one animal charity in the world. And they just really concentrate on the species that are going extinct right now. They're in a red zone, like pangolins, and they change all the time. And they do a lot of PSAs with massive celebrities for China. So if China is the issue and they're poaching or whatever it is, they're trying to educate people. So education is pretty much it. If you interview people in China, no one knows they're buying tusks from a killed elephant. They think it's just a dead elephant. So when you have people that are celebrities like Prince William or Beckham, do PSAs and talk, people really listen. It really works, you know? So yeah. Once you educate them, the demand goes down very fast instead of doing anything else. So it's not really about getting budget for Africa for trying to save the animals. It's mostly educate people that are buying it. And it's been
cut
super
off the demand.
Yeah, exactly. It's been super effective. They legalized the wildlife, the ivory trade now in China a couple of years ago. That took about 8 years. It was a massive win with the help of Yao Ming and a bunch of different people in the Chinese government. It's been amazing. And yeah, so they've been lovely to work with. And they're just, I mean, absolutely amazing. They're so efficient what they're doing. And the best adventures of my life have been with them, you know, because it's so, you pay to go safari, you can go and you have a great time with them. You got all the researchers, you're learning. I mean, it's just, it's the best of the best. It's wonderful. So I'm every time I do a trip with them, it's just an incredible experience.
Which countries have you gone to with them?
All around. We did India. We've done all of Africa. A lot of trips in Africa, you know. Some underwater trips. We just did Galapagos now. So it just depends on when and where.
Wow. What an incredible organization to team up with and support.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully we'll find a way of reversing the mistakes we've made as a species, but you're getting to spend time with all of these animals that are on the verge of disappearing. It must just feel so profound to be contributing to keeping them here.
No, for sure. I mean, I've done companies and things like that. I've made money in different types of ways, and nothing beats a feeling of like, oh my God, it's like we're in Australia for New Year's Eve. It was a couple of years ago. And they announced that they legalized the ivory trade in China. I mean, that's, you can't beat that feeling. You know, that's like, you know, you work on that and people work their whole lives to buy cars and whatever it is. The problem is that most people can't really see what we see with the travels.
Yeah.
So once you're there and you see the problems, you can only help. You don't want to do anything else, you know? So the problem is that people don't get to see it. So it's important to really try to show and also not show the gruesome parts of it so much. Because
right.
See a gruesome picture, like, okay, it's happening. But
you don't engage with it the same way, right?
No,
like, but you kind of try and distance yourself emotionally from it.
Exactly, yeah. But showing beauty and you getting people sucked into that beauty and then little hints of what the problems are. Then yeah. You can really, really do a difference with that way. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I remember one time when we were hanging out, you were showing me photos of lions feeding and you were up so close.
I know, it's a nightmare.
What is that? What does that feel like? Do you have any adrenaline left in your body, or is it all used up?
what happens at nighttime in Africa is horror. I mean, it's like, if you think about worst horror movie you've ever seen, it's horror. But it's life. It's what happens there. But it's like, you know, you're driving on a safari and the lions are going on a hunt, and then, you know, you just turn off the lights, you just hear, it's like, whoa, it's like roaring, and bones breaking and blood squirting. It's pretty heavy. All those beautiful Africa pictures, daytime, are amazing, but nighttime, right, is when it happens. You know, it's heavy. But you've been on safari a little bit, or have you?
I haven't. No.
You must come. It's amazing.
I know. It's funny when you get a time off the road and you actually start thinking of travel as a luxury again instead of a necessity, because, you know, yeah, I was on a plane every week. You're probably one of the only people I know who travels more than I do.
Yeah, we've traveled a lot, you and me, Jesus.
We have. Yeah. But when things slow down, it's funny what emerges in your head. I mean, I've never been to Tokyo. You've always told me to come to Tokyo. I haven't really spent time in Africa. I've only been to Morocco. And so, yeah, I mean, safari would be incredible. I actually have a couple of friends who've gone during this time, because it seems like it's so low traffic that you see these incredible images of lions lying all over the road because there's no cars. Like, I'm sure the animals are really enjoying it.
Yeah, the oceans are so clean right now, and it's really helped a lot. I mean, the positive parts of Corona, I mean, when it comes to animals, it's phenomenal what's happened. Less pollution, yeah, less light. It's great. So it's very, very cool. But go. It's a great time to go right now.
It's top of my list. Do you get crazy culture shock going from that kind of raw extreme back into hectic cities?
Yeah, it's going, because I can be out for a month or two in Africa, or on a boat in Galapagos, whatever it is, you know, and then bang, you're in Tokyo or you're in New York trying to set up an exhibit one day to go. That adjustment, it's crazy. But what I find is that I love cities. I'm a city boy. I need the, you know, culture. I need things happening. But when I land, let's say I'm on safari, my shoulders start going down. I start relaxing. I start hearing noises again. I start seeing small insects. But you don't notice when you're in a big city because you're so overwhelmed with everything that's happening. So it's important to, it's a really nice balance. I love being in cities. And if I don't get my other 50% of the wild, that it's very healthy to be able to get that. It's important.
Yeah. You feel your body adjust to it.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. 100%.
Did you get a lot of time in rural environments when you were a kid? I guess you guys had that island in Sweden.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a little bit more being out in nature. Yeah. So, my father has this private island on the west coast of Sweden that is now, we use every summer, July, August, and it's phenomenal. It's so beautiful. So there you're really alone because it's a reserve. Someone can never build there again. It's incredible.
Is there anything on it?
We have four houses and that's it. There's nothing else. You know, it takes about an hour to walk around the island. It's all granite rock. It's super wild. It gets crazy storms. It can be super flat and sunsets. It's Swedish summers are the best in the world. It's really amazing.
And you just, you know, where's the grocery store? Like, how do you?
Oh no! By boat, it's like 5 minutes of town. So it's super close. But you just can't see anybody else from the town. You can't see it. It's really cool.
I feel like you just always, you must travel with like a trunk of costumes, because every time I see videos from there, everyone's like dressed up like a different animal running around on the island.
Yeah, but we did weird like Jackass TV shows in Japan. I was directing for so many years, and people were dressed up and weird stuff all the time. It just kind of stayed with us, all these travels, you know. And it's fun because people kind of lose their guard, they relax, they have some weird giraffe costume on. It just adds to the fun of it. The more fun you're having on shoots, the more it's easy and having a great time. It really comes out in picture. Like, very serious shoots never come out good usually.
Right.
So it's kind of a tool for us to make everybody relax, which is good.
That makes sense. Have you been working with the same team for a long time?
Yes. The team is always the same, which is like one of my closest friends. So they all come together. My manager is amazing. The makeup artist, everybody kind of works together. There's always three or four of us that do the travels. And then we hire people on the ground usually. Yeah.
And sometimes, I guess, there's animal handlers, and sometimes animals are fully wild.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to wild animals, we never shoot with human beings. You cannot approach them at all. They can be in cars, they can be close, whatever it is, unless you're underwater. And then all the animals work with models, whatever it is, are rescue animals that are, you know, if it comes to cats, they usually, they do like hand hunting. So they're bred to be hunted. So people buy them from the hunting places and have private reserves we can work with. So those are animals that are used to human beings.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. And I guess that is in all different places around the world, because I know that you've even shot in New York with animals. And
exactly, yeah, for sure, yeah, yeah.
I feel like since I see you in a different place every time we're together, what what feels like home to you now? Is it the island in Sweden? I know you've got a really strong tie to Japan.
Yeah. I've traveled so much like you. So you kind of build your own family in each country.
Right.
So it just kind of becomes home. I always go back to Japan and South Africa. Like Cape Town and Tokyo are always home. But if I'm in Sweden, I got my family here, and I'm in New York and LA, Miami, it's all different. I'm really comfortable in all the places, you know. But I've been in hotels for about 7 years now, so I'm really excited to get a house.
Really?
So I'm really excited to get it.
Was the last house the house in LA?
Yeah, it was a house. Yeah, it was like 7 years ago. Yeah, it's crazy. It goes so fast. Was it seven? Well, maybe five. It must have been seven.
I think it might have been 6 or 7 years ago when we were having those crazy dinner parties.
Dinner parties is amazing.
Yeah.
So that was the last house. And I just been traveling. I've had too much work, so I haven't had time to get a spot. So I'm going to get a spot in Miami now in April, but then Corona came, so I couldn't get it. So hopefully next September, I'll get a house in Miami.
You think that's where you want to be based next?
Yeah, Miami works for me, close to everything. And it just works for me better. It's close to Bahamas. I like it there. And life is easy in America, so it's nice to be there. It works.
Yeah, I guess for infrastructure and everything else, and also just as the landing pad to launch you wherever you need to go, it's easier.
Where do you want to live? Are you going to stay in Canada? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm thinking about Europe a bit, maybe. Mm. But
it's really cold.
I'm Canada's in Canada, though. Yeah, I know.
I know. Canada's worse than Sweden. Yeah, that's true.
Well, and it's fun if there's like a culture around the cold, right? And you can go skiing and there's cozy, nice things to do. But yeah, it definitely makes me miss LA a little bit. Especially, I remember one of the dinner parties we had, we invited like 8 people and 27 showed up. And
exactly,
we were like cooking and then sitting outside around the fire listening to music. And it was January.
It was amazing. It was so good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. It was beautiful. We had Skrillex and all these crazy people. It was fun. We had a great group. We got to do more dinner parties. They were so much fun.
Oh my gosh. I just remember you putting on this really nice playlist that was like your safari camp playlist. And it was this old
Jazzy
world,
tunes.
Like Billie Holiday. And I heard the music change and I looked over and it was like Skrillex and A-Track, like messing with your super elegant adult dinner party music.
Like,
I was like, I know. We were like, wait for the drop. It's coming.
No. That's good. You and me know what kind of music needs to be played at certain amounts of times. You can't just put on anything for those kind of dinner parties.
I know, it's true. I feel like it's so funny how many like loungy dinner party events I've DJed. I feel like that's totally my zone. But you
it
get it too.
Us. Exactly. I completely get it. That's good. So how are the DJ gigs now? Is anything popping up soon? Or can you do events, or is it dead?
I don't know. I might be done for a bit. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm focusing on other things, doing this and working on some other cool projects. And I had such a good run. You know, it's one of those things where I don't even know what would be left to do.
No, exactly. You did it. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's nice to feel that way. I know people who are kind of at the beginning of their career when the pandemic hit. And I feel like it's so much harder when you just got rolling.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're kind of trying to figure out how to do that again. And I feel really lucky to have this time to sort of regroup, because I did have such a good run that I don't really have any regrets or unfinished business that I'm desperate to get back to. It's nice just
for
to
sure.
have a
exactly.
moment to pause. What's left for you? What are you dying to shoot still?
I'm a Gemini, so I'm gonna have like 10 more careers before I die. It changes all the time. I've already had 3 careers that I'm really lucky that I've done good in, and then now it's food. You know, you and me love our food, so we're working with Wagyu Mafia in Japan. We're trying to open a restaurant in New York at some point soon.
No way.
Yeah, that's gonna be really fun. So all my Japanese friends are amazing.
What's Wagyu Mafia?
Well, it's a company that has a lot of different restaurants, and they do a kind of omakase 9-person type of dinner type of thing with Michelin star chefs. You cook with them, and it's a cool experience, which you'll have to experience in Tokyo.
Yeah.
So we're looking to do that in New York at some point. We're doing this kind of, you know, Team Lab. You've seen a little bit what I do with Team Lab.
I don't think so.
Projection. It's like interactive projections exhibits.
Yes, you were telling me about this.
That's right. So we're going to do a few of those now with animals, walking around the whole experience with just projections, and it's all kind of follows you around. If it's a waterfall, it moves with you, and kind of flower petals on the floor. It's really impressive.
Is that who did the ones with Van Gogh and Monet?
Oh, no, Monet's a different one.
Okay.
It's a different company. Yeah,
but it's a similar kind of concept, maybe?
Similar to that, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And so we're doing, it's going to be just fully for the wild, you know? And that's going to take maybe 2 years or so. We have some people in Saudi with a big kind of entertainment city opening up there, and then one in Beijing right now, which they're meeting about. So there's a few things up. It's massive budgets to do this type of thing. So we're working on that right now. because I've done, I mean, I've done over 140 galleries now, and just putting up pictures on white walls is getting a little bit tedious. So I'm really excited to do something more interactive, and we're doing a lot of LED work. So these getting a kind of OLED, they're very flat LEDs you can buy right now, but look like a piece of art you can have at home. They could change over time. So we're working a little bit more digital art now. It's going to be fun.
Have you done an exhibit with them yet? Or this is all for the future?
Yet, no. Okay. No, we're working on that right now. So it's going to be cool.
So exciting. And so what is that? I guess you're kind of creating the world that you were talking about. People don't really get to interact with animals.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. So when you go see the Team Lab exhibit in Japan, which is massive, it takes about 4 hours to see the whole thing. It's the closest I've been to nature outside of the wild. So, and to be able to get that experience out. I mean, they do this whole firefly forest. You can walk around and it's fireflies everywhere, and it's just really magical. So it's an incredible experience. And there's quite a lot of money in it now too. I mean, it's huge amounts of sales they're doing in Japan with that right now. It's going really well.
It sounds like something that would be more impactful than those VR goggles for some reason. Like getting to still walk around and be a part of the environment as opposed to just having something on your face. I feel like...
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It makes you feel more like you're there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And when it's interactive like that, I mean, you can just touch things. Animals will follow you. You can pet a lion and it starts falling apart into flower petals that follow you on the floor. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with it. So it's exciting. It's good. It's just these massive budgets you got to pull off before. I mean, you know, when you do these kind of companies, you spend, you know, always 5-6 years working on budget, and then you can start creating and it gets fun again. So that's the job isn't really the creating. It's really getting the money first.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it'll be nice too for adults as well, but also for kids to kind of grow up getting to experience what it's like and maybe develop early compassion for animals in a way that our generation hasn't been as good at.
No, for sure. Exactly. 100%. I agree.
I guess that's probably been your biggest driver sort of throughout is I think it's just sort of incredible that you had that early exposure to animals sort of unexpectedly, and then that altered what you wanted to communicate with your art.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, it just turned into that. It's the best kind of business or work you can do is just floats into your life naturally. Because for me, the work shooting and creating these pictures is not work at all. I mean, it's just so much fun. I'm having a blast. You know, selling it is the work. Going to all the dinners, meeting all the buyers, all the things. You know. And every night telling the same stories and being interesting, that's the job. But beyond that, shooting, it's no problem at all.
I guess humans are probably a lot more draining than animals.
Yeah. Oh my God. You have no idea. And you become an alcoholic. You have to drink all the time. It doesn't work.
I know. That's the thing. That's the thing about New York. I feel like whenever we're there, it's just a city of, we're all kind of functional alcoholics going out
it's
to dinner
really
parties
hard
every
to
night.
Do it being sober, it's very difficult. So we try our best, you know. But yeah, I don't know.
Where do you miss the most right now?
I miss Japan so much. It's locked. I can't get in. I've tried everything. I can't get into Tokyo. They open 1st of April, and I'll be on the first flight there because it's tough. It's like kind of my balances me out. I need to be there quite a lot.
What is it about that culture? Because whenever you're coming back from Tokyo, I feel like you're just so replenished and revived from the rest of the world. What is it? What is it about Japan?
I just feel clean there, and the conversations are interesting. The food's good. I go out to these kind of the nature in Japan is so beautiful. And go out to these kind of shrines up in the mountains, hot springs. It just really works for my body and my mind, kind of getting me together again. If I have any issues in my life, I just go to Tokyo. And in like 2 weeks is sorted. I can come back and I'm fine. It gets you self-distance. You start thinking about other things. It's very good for me to go there. And not being able to go there, it sucks. It's rough.
Yeah. So a bit of a spiritual connection then.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I need to get that on my list soon.
Gotta go.
I gotta go.
First of April, we all go. It's cherry blossoms. It's going to be amazing. It'll be a good trip.
You know, you have a couple more careers coming up by the sounds of it. But as far as photography goes, what are you still wanting to shoot as far as animals go or stories you want to tell?
We're going to do a big shoot with lava in the volcanoes. So lava is so incredible. And I've seen people do, you know, Photoshop and lava and connecting things like that, but doing it for real, no one's ever done it. So I want burning dresses. I want girls with lava behind. And I've done a few things in Kona, so that's going to be really interesting. And we have some friends that work with volcanoes. So that's going to be the next shoot in Hawaii. And then we're doing some anti-gravity things, a zero-G plane. That's going to be fun. So everything that's like difficult to do, I've really shot with every animal I can possibly shoot with. We'll probably do some more things underwater.
I feel like your niche is when you see images where people have photoshopped elements together, you're like, yeah. hold my beer. Let me go do that for real.
I'm going to do this for real. Exactly. Yeah, if it's not difficult to do, I don't want to do it, you know? And also it's an experience for me. I have such an amazing time trying it out and it's just an adventure. And also going on a vacation to a cool spot, that's just a vacation. If you're actually creating something, it's actually means something to go, and it's even more fun, you know? I have tons of ideas. It just depends on budgeting and all the kind of, it's quite expensive to do these kind of shoots. So we try to just get budgeting and then we go do it.
Anywhere left on the planet you wanna travel to, or are you just heading straight to space?
Yeah, it's pretty much space, huh? That's we got left. I don't know, we've done
that's
it all.
That's all that's left.
Yeah, we traveled a lot. So I don't know if there's a... There's a Rainbow River in Colombia I want to go shoot in. There's not much left. But I mean, it's also amazing. I go back to these incredible spots I've been to. It's as amazing every time. So just got to figure out new ideas how to shoot it properly.
Well, keep it up. It's very inspiring for the rest of us.
You are the best, Alex. You're amazing.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
I miss you.
I miss you too.
Bye.
Bye. Talk to you soon. And that, beautiful people, concludes this episode of The Inspirati. I hope you picked up some inspiration to take into your day. Please rate, review, subscribe, and leave a comment if you're enjoying these conversations. You can follow The Inspirati on Instagram or find me at alex.merrill. Stay inspired and keep creating. The world needs it more than ever.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.